Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nitu Da, and we are broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC. And if you look in your car, on your iPod, or whatever device you're using to listen to this, you know that I mean that ironically. Unfortunately, technology has not come that far. And on today's show, if you can hear that laughing, I have a guest, my second guest. Unfortunately, my first guest was my mother. Or maybe that's actually a good thing. She was on my Christmas show, and she just said Happy New Year. She was too nervous to say anything more.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, she was on the show. But Miles is, I'm going to say, is my first official guest, because he is here for the full length of the show. This is Miles Black. He is our new music coordinator, director.
I seem to have like three different titles: coordinator, or director, or music department manager.
Okay, let's
you
go.
Can use
with,
whatever you like.
Let's go with music director. Miles is the music director, and I met him just when he was first kind of starting out. When he first kind of came in, and I came in to just kind of introduce myself, but then I found out something interesting about Miles. That he grew up on an island, so I thought it would be cool to learn about his experience, and that's what you're here for today.
And thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Usually you're on the radio to talk about your band, but for once, it's, you're going solo. This is your solo career.
Yeah, this is the start of it.
Okay, so my first question is, did you feel isolated on the island, since it is an island?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it is isolated. It's the kind of place where, like, it's like any small town where, like, as a teenager, you kind of just want to get out, or you can't wait to get away. Because it is, like, it's, especially because it's an island and it shuts down after 11. Like, there's no traffic to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this profound sense of, like, wow, we're really out here in the middle of the ocean.
So there weren't, like, a lot of cars either? Was it, like, mostly people, like, riding on bikes?
Oh, there were cars. There's, like, paved roads and stuff. It's one of the, like, more developed Gulf Islands.
Would it be difficult to buy a car? Like, was there, like, a car dealership on the island? Or would you have to, like, get a ferry to, like, specially bring it in?
No, all that stuff would come from Nanaimo.
Oh, okay. Is Nanaimo connected to the island you grew up on?
Just by a ferry.
What was the island that you grew up on called again?
It's called Gabriola.
And it's off the coast of...
Just off Nanaimo. It's on Vancouver Island.
Okay, so it's not that far out, I guess.
No, it's like directly between here and Nanaimo.
Okay. And do you feel technology connected you to people on the mainland since you felt so isolated?
Yeah, well, I remember getting MSN chat when I was like 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big deal for us.
Okay, so that kind of helped you to kind of get more connected to people.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, I suppose you would watch TV like many of us do. Did you feel connected when you watch like political debates or like, I don't know if you watch like the Oscars or Emmys or something that was like so global that it usually connected everybody? Did you also feel like, oh, I'm there, I'm connected to?
Yeah, I guess like CBC News, any like major world events, made us feel connected.
Mm. Was there ever like a big news story at the island?
The big news stories on the island were always something like, one of the restaurants burned down and everyone thought it was arson. It was a lot of like rumors and stuff.
Okay, a lot of rumors on the island, huh?
Yeah.
And were there great views everywhere?
Oh, my God. It's beautiful. It was a beautiful place to grow up.
I feel like that's a big stereotype when someone comes from an island. You just expect it to just be beautiful, and this person just grew up with great views everywhere.
Yeah. That was like one of my favorite things about growing up on an island is that, like, going to the mainland every day for school meant that you take a 20-minute ferry ride back and forth each day, so you get to look out at the ocean for 20 minutes in
was
the morning.
Was it ever tiring to always take the ferry to school?
Yeah, initially, but you really get used to it doing it day after day. And it's also like a very communal thing. Like, all your schoolmates are on the ferry with you, and it's pretty rowdy.
It sounds like a field trip. Like, every day before school, there's a little field trip that leads up to it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, that would be my field trip. Like, I went to, like, Victoria for a field trip, and that was, like, the ferry ride was longer. I don't, like, 40 minutes? I don't really remember how long it was, but that's the only time I went on a ferry.
Yeah.
It was just the one time. Where you've been on a ferry, like, how many days are in school? A bunch. More than 1,000.
Yeah, from 8th grade to the end of high school, it was a ferry every day.
I wish I was good at math. I would calculate that. But too. I'm not. And I was going to ask, and you said there was a small town feeling there. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt small. Like, did everybody, like, know each other? Was everybody, like, knew their neighbors, people across the street?
To some extent. There was about 6,000 people on the island.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of names to remember.
Yeah. I don't think I met all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely had a real strong sense of, like, small-town community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And were the streets numbered, or were they named? I'm really curious.
Named. Yeah, and they're very chaotic because it's an island. It's a very hilly island that's really, like, kind of famous for bicycling. A lot of bicyclists like to go there just because it's fun for a bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
And all the roads are, like, there's different sections of the island where they're all named after different themes. Like, there's one section of the island that's all the roads are named after Moby Dick.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Captain Ahab Road and the White Whale.
That sounds cool. Like, I'm from Surrey, which is not a small town or has great views. But we have numbered streets, but not all of them. There's King George and Scott Road. It's like, I think King George is, like, from the British monarchy. And my high school was Princess Margaret, also British.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any kind of, like, evidence of British?
Not as much as you see here, because the island was, it's, I guess politically it's pretty left, like it's pretty, well, it was founded in the 70s, well, not founded, but it was settled in the 70s by, largely by, like, a big hippie population, and I always heard when I was growing up that there were a lot of, like, draft dodgers that lived there, and people who are trying to kind of get away from society almost. So there was a lot of, like, alternative views and a lot of, I guess there was a lot of people into, like, mysticism as well when I was growing up. So it wasn't, you didn't have as much of the, like, British influence.
And what is mysticism for us, for those of us who don't know, me included?
Oh, that's also, like, a term that is so subjective. Everyone has a different sort of definition of it.
Well, just give me yours.
I think of it as, like, believing in pagan ritual. And
what's a pagan ritual? I feel like this is going to be the whole conversation. Like, a kid asking his parent, like, why?
Yeah, we can go down there a little bit if you want. It's a little early for me, but yeah, I'll do my best.
Maybe we'll come back to it.
Okay.
An easier question. Unless you were, like, not even looking at the streets, walking down, you wouldn't be able to ask this. But I'm pretty sure your eyes were open.
Hmm.
Were there a lot of murals around the island?
Mm-hmm. It's known as, like, the Island of the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge artistic community. And, like, there's a lot of music. There's a lot of murals. There's a lot of art projects going on. They have a festival in the fall that's where you get to visit artists in their homes, and everyone opens up their homes and their home studio, like a studio tour. So that was a big influence growing up, the fact that there was, like, all these artists reaching out and encouraging you to make art.
Mm-hmm. Were the murals, like, well, what's kind of like the artwork of the murals? Because around in Vancouver, it's very historical. It's kind of like trying to show, like, the history of Vancouver. Was any of it historical?
Not mostly. It was mostly kind of hippie expressionism.
Okay, so very colorful, I guess?
Very colorful, sometimes psychedelic. It's like Gulf Island folk art,
Okay. And you said there was, like, a lot of music also on the island, which inspired you to create a band?
Yeah, absolutely. There was, like, a lot of musicians. Like, there was youth who were into music. There was a youth center that did a Friday night jam. Mm-hmm. It was called The Gathering Place. That's where I learned to play music. And there was a lot of, like, a large population of older musicians and people who had made music all their lives, who had settled on the island and just wanted to put on shows. Mm-hmm. So every kid was kind of encouraged to make music if that's what they were into, and to put on shows, and there was a lot of support for it.
I feel bad for the academics on the island. They might have been felt a little excluded that way, I guess.
Felt bad for who?
The academics. Oh, weren't so much into, like, music and maybe artwork, more like study.
Well, that's a good place to study, too. I mean, it's a good place to sort of hibernate and get away from everything.
That would also be good, also. And when you first came here to Vancouver, did you feel like you felt you fit in, or did you feel like it was very difficult to fit in with your background?
It's very overwhelming coming here from the islands. Mainly just because you quickly realize that you aren't around large buildings very much. You're not around
like everywhere you look on the island, I suppose, it's like, okay, view. Mm-hmm. Here it's like, okay, large building.
Yeah, it's more difficult in the city to get away from that and to get to the expansive views. I think that really takes a toll on you, and you don't really realize how unadjusted to the city you are until you get here. Mm-hmm. But I moved to Victoria from Gabriola, and then from Victoria to here. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my stepping stone. That was a way to sort of adjust. And a lot of people do that, because cities on Vancouver Island, like Victoria, are kind of like halfway between the rural small town feeling and the big city.
Do you feel like you've adjusted now? Do you dislike Vancouver?
Do I dislike it?
Do you dislike Vancouver?
Oh, no, I love Vancouver. And I really feel at home here. I've been here for 4.5 years.
Okay, then it's been a long time.
Yeah.
You had a lot of time to adjust. A degree amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And I've found a lot of support for music here, too.
Mm-hmm. And when I was, like, growing up in Surrey, we would learn a lot about history in school. A lot about, like, colonialism. A lot of it's based on, like, Aboriginal people and how Canada came to be and how we were influenced by the British and the monarch and the prime ministers and what were they called? What's that company that used to be something else, but now is something else?
Hudson's Bay?
Yes, thank you. I'm surprised that you got it for how I said it. Hudson's Bay used to be like a fur trading company. Mm-hmm. You learn all about that. Would you also learn that at the schools on the island?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And to some extent, that was sort of like standard Canadian history textbook stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you ever learn about the history of the island or something that we wouldn't learn here on the mainland?
There actually is a museum on the island devoted to, like, Gabriola history. Although, as a kid, I didn't go there very much.
Have you ever been there?
I have been
there. Do you remember something about the history?
I'm kind of racking my brains for it. I mean, I don't remember anything from the museum because I was not into museums growing up. Mm-hmm. And I would find it much more interesting now. But I think it was largely like sort of photographic evidence of the people that moved here and there in the 70s and sort of setting up little communes.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first community hall and that sort of thing.
Did you ever have a snow day?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It was rare.
I was hoping you would say no. But
actually,
you had a snow day.
There was 1 year in my whole time growing up there that it, like, really snowed, where it was, like, feet and feet of snow, and it and everything kind of shut down. And that was the 1 year that I had gone to my grandmother's house up north all winter. and just completely missed it. Mm-hmm. And everyone was raving when I got back about, like, oh, my God, this magic snow. And we all were building tunnels in it, and, mm-hmm. and I just missed out.
Was the ferry – I guess the ferry was canceled. Have you ever, like, missed school because the ferry was canceled for whatever reason?
Yeah.
The waves were too high or – That
it's, too much. Yeah, it's again very rare. Like in the winter, there are storms, and mm-hmm. sometimes the boat will be rocking so much that the windows are touching the ocean. Mm-hmm. But it was rare that it actually like shut everything down because it was unsafe. It'd have to be a pretty mm-hmm. big storm.
Was the school always understanding about, you know, kids who came in from like a ferry to like understand like, oh, they're a little late? Or was it still like you're tardy, that's it?
I think it was a little bit of both, depending on who the teacher was.
Mm-hmm. What was, like, the dominant age group on the island? You said there was, like, a lot of old people who were, like, former artists or mm-hmm. continued artists on the island.
That would be the dominant age group is, like, over 65, even, like, there's a kind of a big disparity between the youth and the older population.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like they connected on a level? Like, do you feel like the younger generation, the old generation were able to understand each other and communicate and kind of be like friends, form friendships?
Yeah, I think so. There was, for instance, every summer they would have a salmon barbecue, and it was mm-hmm. a big music festival at the community hall. Mm-hmm. And that would be a really big mix of, like, everyone on the island coming together. Mm-hmm. And that's where I, like, kind of learned about folk music, because folk music is huge in the Gulf Islands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was always sort of taught to you and performed by older people who had been playing folk music all their lives.
Mm-hmm. And was it normal for people to leave the island, like, regularly, besides for school, like, come to, like, the mainland, like frequently?
I think most people do. Most people do, like, their big shop, you know, mm-hmm. once or twice a month from the mainland. But there are people who just, like, love the island and don't want to leave ever mm-hmm. and have made themselves totally self-sufficient there.
Mm-hmm. Are there any secret hand signs or gestures from the island? I'm curious because, you know, like, there's, like, the peace sign, which actually means victory. Mm. It's actually supposed to be a V that stands for victory, though somehow it's turned into, like, a peace sign. Mm. Is there anything like that on the island, like, stop or the military stop sign or are the stop signs red on the island?
The stop signs, there are a few stop signs. There's not very many.
Mm. But they're red.
And they're red. I don't, and sometimes they're ignored. It depends on the individual.
Not very good driving on the island. Yet no car accidents.
Oh, no, there are car accidents.
Never mind.
There's a lot of deer on the island, so that's a hazard sometimes.
Yeah. But there's no secret outside?
Oh, if there were secret clubs, I didn't get in.
Is there any, like, kind of gesture that was, like, you would usually do there? Like, I'm Punjabi, so we have, like, our signature hand signs. Mm. Was there anything like that?
Not that I can think of. Not, like, hand signs or anything physical that you mm-hmm. did as a greeting.
Was there any kind of word? Like, I know you say this a lot. You say cheers a lot, and you write it in your emails, too. And you told me you said you got it because you lived in Britain for a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of, like, other saying like that you got from the island? Do they always say, like, have a good day or... Mm. What other kind of manners? I suppose it's manners that I'm interested in.
I guess island time was a big phrase that got used a lot.
What does that mean?
It means, like, if you're on island time, you're, like, you're not stressed about being promptly on time. It's a little, like, laid back.
Okay, so, like, relaxing, chilling.
Yeah, very relaxed. It was, like, it looked like an idyllic kind of wonderland, like mm-hmm. it looks incredibly beautiful there. It's like a little sandstone rock in the ocean covered with arbutus and cedar trees. Mm-hmm. So there was this, everyone had this sort of relaxed feeling about them. And a lot of people, I think, move there just to relax. So they were trying to foster that.
Just to get island time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll start using that. I stole it from you, so everybody knows. It's on the radio, so it's public. And I can take it.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Yes. How many? I know you went. You didn't go to school on the island, but were there any schools on the island?
Yeah, there's an elementary school, so you go to school up to grade 7.
Did you go to the elementary school, or were you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
you did.
Since kindergarten.
But there was no high school.
No.
Was it like ever like part of like the? Was there like a community community hall or something like that where they discuss like, oh, we should make a high school year?
I don't think they ever considered making a high school, just because most of the people on the island are opposed to more development.
Mm-hmm.
And a small island can only develop to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although it's funny that the size of Gaborone is almost the exact same size as Manhattan Island.
Okay.
It's just not nearly as developed as Manhattan Island.
Were there any hospitals?
There's a clinic. Actually, my mom is works for the ambulance.
Okay, it's a clinic, not like a hospital, though.
Yeah, there's for emergencies, you would get taken over on the ferry or by helicopter.
Okay,
to
that would be interesting. You get injured and you get a free ride on a helicopter.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice little excitement.
Was there a driving school?
I think there were a couple people who did it independently who taught driving lessons, but most people went to, like, the official...
But when you take the test, would you get to take it on the island?
No.
Okay.
You have to go to town for that.
So you would actually... Okay, that's interesting, because you would actually be driving on the island. It'll be probably be better if the test was there.
It's a nice place to learn how to drive, because there's not a ton of people driving around all the time. It's a comfortable place to get comfortable on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, everything, like... testing, road tests, has to be done on the mainland.
Mm-hmm. And was there a police station on the island?
Yes.
A fire station on the island?
Yes. When I was a kid, my mom worked for the fire department.
Your
she was a firefighter.
Sure, works in a lot of emergency situations.
Yeah.
She must be able to deal with stress.
Yes. Yes, she can.
What else? What else could be... Was there... Like you said, some people came to the mainland to do shopping. Was there not like a... Superstore or Walmart or something on
No, that? Nothing like that. There's a grocery store, like a community grocery store at this, it's like a mall. It's a little mall called The Village, where there's like a apothecary and a art store. And
what is an apothecary? I feel like I've heard that from like Shakespeare.
Oh, like a drugstore.
Okay. I feel like I remember that from like Shakespeare. It was like a big thing in my high school. Apothecary.
Yeah, that would
from
that
Romeo
would be.
And Juliet,
that's
I
what
think.
I was gonna say. That's where Juliet would go to get that potion.
Did you also learn Shakespeare in high school, or was it just my
I
high
did.
School?
Actually, Shakespeare was a big part of growing up for me.
Okay, what plays did you learn?
When I was 9 or 10, I asked my art teacher if we could put on a production of Romeo and Juliet.
Okay. What role did you want to play?
I wanted to play Romeo.
Who was going to be the Juliet? Was this to, like, ask out your crush? No?
I kind of was, although I didn't get to decide who was who.
Okay.
But I auditioned to be Romeo, and I got to play Romeo, and a girl named Chaiti auditioned to play Juliet, and I did have a crush on her.
Okay. Was there, like, a kissing scene and everything? Like, you did the full length of the play?
Oh, yeah, we did the full thing. I think there was a very short... school-appropriate kiss.
Mm-hmm. And you, like, remember it all, like, all the, like, Shakespeare lines?
Oh, I don't remember all my lines,
but
I did get to know it very well.
All of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we had lessons to learn how to fence, how to sword fight.
And how long did it take to, like, how long did it take to, like, put on the production and remember all the lines and
Oh, as I remember, it was, like, 4 or 5 months. It was a big deal. We got really into it.
Did it happen on the island, or was it at the school? Well, you said it was
nine, ten
elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And then did everybody show up for it?
Everybody showed up. We performed it in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years later, we did The Tempest.
Okay. I feel like I've heard that before. Mm. Is it a book?
That's another Shakespeare play.
Okay, it's another Shakespeare play.
Yeah.
What other ones? I guess, like, the... Let's compare. Which ones did I learn? I never really went through, like, all of Romeo and Juliet. I feel like we skimmed through it. Mm. But I think we did Much Ado About Anything. And the one where, I'm totally blanking on what it was called, but it's the one where there's a twin girl and a boy, and the girl pretends to be a guy, and she falls in love with whoever she's living with. But then he sends her to go to some castle to say no to some girl who's also interested in him. But she ends up liking him / her. Do you remember this play?
Oh, it's familiar, but there are so many Shakespeare plays where women dress up as men and men dress up as women. And
it's the one that's the most comedic one.
Oh.
I'm blanking on what it was called.
I'm not sure.
Like, I learned Hamlet. That's, like, a big one.
Yeah.
The whole, what was, like, that famous line he says? No, actually, okay, I remember a line from the other one, the comedic one.
Mm.
It goes, "If music be the food of love, play on."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And then Hamlet, the play's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it. But there's this other part where I forgot what it is. I remember I went to the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon, and we went to go, like, actually see the plays that I had an English literature class, and we went through, like, two plays, and then we read Great Expectations, and those were also the ones that were going to be performed at the festival. So the teacher, Mr. Weber, lined it up that way. So when we went, we already kind of knew everything, so we could, like, understand the plays and what was going on.
Mm.
Remember, we watched Hamlet, and when it came to that line that I should remember, but I don't, he was holding a microphone, the actor, and he put it in a girl's face, and then she said it, because it was that much of a famous line, but for some reason, I don't know it, I can't remember it.
It's like, one time I saw this punk band from Lethbridge, Fist City,
mm-hmm.
and I was such a fan, and then they, like... the lead singer came down to the audience and put the microphone in my face,
oh,
and
gosh.
I was like, oh, crap, I don't know this one. I don't know what's next. And so I just sort of went like, ah.
I feel like she did remember what it was, but I think maybe he helped her a little bit, like he mouthed it to her. But it's still such a famous line, and yet I don't remember it. Yeah, I remember a song that I used to sing when I was like, 10, and if you played it now, I could sing the whole thing, but I can't remember this one freaking line. That is not a swear word. It doesn't count.
Yeah, you're okay.
And now we will take a little break, and I'll play this first song from Steve Dawson's album called Lucky Hand.
Thank you. One of Victoria's best up-and-coming bands, Fortune Killers, is on tour with their debut album, Temper Temper. By design. Fortune Killers with Vancouver alt rockers High Love play Guilt & Co. Tuesday, June 12th.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Hi, you're listening to CITR. Welcome back. This is Neetu and
Miles
Black. We were just talking about his experience growing up in Ireland, but we have run out of time. Well, actually, we have gone over time. Unfortunately, we don't get paid for overtime either. And any last words?
Ooh.
As a person from Ireland that you want to say to everybody on the mainland?
Oh, man.
I know. I really laid it out big.
I just want to thank you for having me here and, like, giving me this opportunity to talk about where I'm from. I think that's a really important thing for everyone to meet on.
I'm personally very interested because I grew up in Surrey, which is about an hour from Vancouver, which is, I've always considered it, like, a small town, but even though I don't know everybody, but it always kind of had that feeling to it. I guess it's a special feeling for me because it's mostly a South Asian community, and I'm also South Asian, so I always kind of felt comfortable being around people who, like, understood my culture and understood kind of, like, the values and how, like, the Indian family works, which is different from traditional family, knew the culture, that kind of thing. So, like, when I came here to UBC, it was a little weird not seeing, like, people like my kind here. Well, not my kind. Everybody. Humankind is my kind. But, I mean, people who didn't, like, completely understand my cultures and, like, where I come from and things like that.
Yeah, and I guess it's, like, similarly removed from the city.
Yeah. Like, at my high school, it was mostly also, like, a South Asian community, though we did have, like, different races also. When coming to UBC, where everybody's different, it was, like, such a big thing. It was so interesting. Mm-hmm. It kind of got me out of my zone. I guess it's kind of similar to you.
Yeah, very similar. There's a lot of white people where I come from. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot where I came from, though you'd kind of see them, like, the grocery store or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of churches around either. It was mostly Gurdwara, so our temple around.
Yeah.
But any last words?
Oh.
I feel like this is going to keep going on. We're going to say last words, and then we're going to elaborate, and then we'll go back to last words. Fortunately, this isn't like a funeral. Like, your last words aren't really your last words. So you don't have to feel the pressure.
Oh, that's comforting. I would just say cheers.
Yes, cheers for Miles. That's like your tagline. That's your signature. That's your personal gesture. That's your...
Me and the whole of Britain.
Yeah, but I think here it's unique to you because you're the only one who says it.
Yeah,
especially
I guess
here at the station.
I just like that it can mean so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One more time. Say it one more time.
Cheers.
Okay, and that is the end of the show. And next up at 10 a.m. is Rocket from Russia. I tried to talk.